Lord, we praise you for your word, for your truth, for the souls that you have saved, the lives and hearts you have transformed. Oh, Savior, we look forward to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thrilled when I discovered that our reading plan would bring us to the book of James on Easter morning. There are a few books in the Bible which have had as great an impact on my life as this one. One, because, yeah, I really was named for it. All of my brothers have biblical names, and so do I. And secondly, when I was running from my call to ministry in college, and I was intent on pursuing a career in international business, God used this book to bring me back. Specifically, he used a warning right out of James 4 to speak directly to a situation in my life. Now, here it is. Now, remember, I was looking at going into international business. James 4, 13 and following. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do, remember I had been called, and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Man, you gotta love James. He gives it to you straight. Reading this book is a lot like reading Proverbs in the Old Testament. In fact, Luther called it an epistle of straw because he thought it overemphasized human effort, but I would humbly submit to you that on this point, as on a few others, Luther missed the real purpose of the book, as you will see. So again, I'm thrilled that our read through the Old Testament or the New Testament in a year brought us here for Easter morning. You might not think that there's an Easter story in James. Oh, man. It is written on every page, and we don't want to miss it. And so we come to our scripture for today. I'm going to read just two verses for you from James chapter 1, verse 1, and James chapter 2, verse 2. Please follow along with me in your Bibles, and you want to keep them open because we will be going to a lot of places in them this morning. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. May we pray. Lord, take the truth of your word. Take the truth of this man's life and move it deeply to our souls, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the big deal with these verses? Well, we've got to do a little bit of digging to find that out. But the first thing you notice is that James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. James is a Jew, and remember that the first Christians were Jews. And James is also a believer in Jesus. But it's also important to remember that it wasn't always that way. Not at all. And to understand exactly what that means, we need to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, starting with verse 54. Please follow along with me. Coming to his hometown, he, Jesus, began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. Did you catch that? Jesus was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit, but Mary and Joseph also had a family of their own together. And look at who his brother was, the oldest of Jesus' younger brothers, closest to him in age. That's right, James. And notice what Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. Oh, so it's like that? Yeah, it was. Imagine you had an older brother who really was perfect. You know, you might not want to believe that, but don't take my word for it. Take John's. If you would turn with me, please, to John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is about 6 months before the crucifixion happens. John 7. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. John 7:5. So you see the meaning of Jesus' words earlier, a prophet is without honor in his own home? And it was always that way. Mark tells us that when Jesus first started his ministry, well, let's go to Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Mark 3, verses 20 and 21. Then Jesus entered a house, and again, a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Ouch. That's the way it was for Jesus with his brothers. And you don't see it any other way throughout his ministry. Jesus feeds the 5,000. James isn't there. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. No James standing beside him. Jesus casts out demons and heals the sick. But you don't see James there following him. So how is it that James would become the head of the church in Jerusalem, so devoted to prayer that in the early history of the church, he would gain the nickname Old Camel Knees? Seriously. Because that's what his knees looked like from the amount of time that he spent on them in prayer. James writes a lot about prayer. He writes a lot about prayer and, interestingly, fairness or justice. So you see Paul going to James in Acts 15:13 to have a dispute in the church resolved. That's interesting. And he speaks with this wisdom from the Spirit. And you see Paul paying him a personal visit in Acts 21:18. Paul tells us exactly who James was. And he writes about when they first met. Listen to this. In Galatians 1:18-19, Paul recounts, again, Galatians 1:18-19, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. So here's the thing. Why is James absent at one point, I mean, a very important point, throughout the life of Jesus, and then James suddenly shows up in the early history of the church? In Acts, after the cross, after the empty tomb, that's where you see him. Why? Why is he such a Johnny-come-lately? What would cause him from going to not believing in his brother? He's out of his mind. Remember? To someone who, according to the Roman historian Josephus, would be stoned to death for his preaching about Jesus in AD 62. What would cause him to go from he's out of his mind to, and we read the words in James 1:1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James 2, a believer in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? What could cause this change? Well, Paul fills us in and tells us exactly what happened. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and following. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and following. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. There it is. And the beauty of it, if you think about it, if you really think about it, it will make you want to weep happily. Then he appeared to James. That's what did it. If you saw your brother who claimed he was the Son of God, the one you had doubted all of his life, if you saw him brutally beaten and put to death, and then you saw him rise from the dead, and he's standing there right in front of you, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that it is he, and you see him more alive than he has ever been. Your brother. Half brother, we know Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but there he is. Well, that would change it. That would change things, wouldn't it? The whole book of James is proof of it. The rock solid conviction, the no holds barred, this is the way it is, wisdom of this book. It's all there for a reason. And the reason is Jesus is risen. And you can't tell James otherwise. He used to doubt him, not anymore. And I think the words that he writes in chapter 4, verse 7 and following, very likely reflect what happened in his own soul. He had to look at himself. He had to make a new beginning with God. He had to admit some things. He had to humble himself. He had to process it all and let God in. And he goes through that. And he recommends the same things to others. So he writes, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James wants us to be very clear on this truth. Jesus is alive, risen from the dead, and what we do with that is everything. Because if it's true, he is everything. Everything he said he was. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And if we come to him and humble ourselves and say, in spite of whatever doubts we may have, still, I believe in you, Jesus. I receive you. I want your way, not mine. If we do that, we will be blessed. Jesus is alive. Take it from one doubter, James. Take it from another doubter, James. He is alive. And he is here with us now. And he longs to save us from our sin and from ourselves and from our adversary, the devil, who would drag us down. Oh, if we will turn to Jesus, if we will humble ourselves, he will lift us up. Well, you might say, well, James saw him, and that's why he was able to believe. But remember what Jesus said to Thomas? You believe me because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Hey, would you like to be blessed? Come near to him. And he will come near to you. Draw near to him with even the smallest amount of faith. And in his hands, what that becomes, it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Look at the life of James. Look at what happened. Because Jesus is risen. And the beauty of that truth changes everything. Even us. If we will receive it. If we will receive him. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Would you like to be blessed? Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Jesus, what you have done for us, your word says, for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, scorning its shame. Thank you that we were part of that joy. Thank you that you are alive and we can know you. Oh, Lord, we know it's entirely because of your kindness to us that we can hang on to this truth at all. But we praise you that we can. You know, we do. Father, thank you for your Son. Spirit, fill us, help us to believe. And if there's anyone who has heard the sermon this morning, maybe sees things in a way you never have before. Maybe you sense God is is calling to you now to come near. This is your moment, don't miss it. It's like the sun coming up, only better. It is the beginning of new life, if you will have it, if you will walk there. Our part is to come to him by faith. And even that's a gift from him. But to say, yes, Lord, I believe. Even if you have questions, it's okay. Just come to him. And if you come to him, as soon as you begin to realize, oh, we need a Savior. That's why I went to the cross. All of us have sinned. And so if we come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me my sins, Lord, forgive me. I receive you. I want you. I want what you did for me. I want to follow you, Lord. And where I struggle with that, I give that to you too, you know. But Lord, yes, I say yes to you. Save me, I pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you prayed a prayer like that, know something is happening. It's real. He's real. He's risen. You may not feel any different. Just wait. Keep looking to him. Keep walking with him. Come near to him. He will come near to you. Praise God for our Savior. Let's